Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Prior to the 92nd session of the South Dakota State Legislature, we welcome South Dakota Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson for a preview. Now, as the session comes to a close, we welcome him back to the program for a recap. Chief Justice Gilbertson, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
All right. So last time we talked to you, there were all kinds of big projects in the work after a summer study talking about mental health and law enforcement in the state. Do you want to give us an overview of how that legislative package sort of began and started moving through PIER?
Sure. In November of 2015, there were media reports about prisoners in county jails waiting many months to be evaluated as to whether they were competent to enter pleas to criminal charges, because under our law you cannot enter a plea unless you're mentally competent to understand what the charges are against you and assist with your defense, helping your attorney. I became very concerned about that. Based on these media reports, I went and talked to Governor Dugard. He shared that concern, and together we came up with the idea that there should be a statewide task force to study the issue, because we didn't really know the nature of the problem other than these media reports. And we came up with a task force of about 22 individuals that would study the problem and determine the nature of the problem and maybe more importantly make recommendations on how to deal with the problem. This was a statewide task force that had law enforcement on it, prosecutors, defense attorneys, county commissioners. We had two legislators, people who deal in the mental health area, including a psychiatrist. We tried to make it as broad-based as possible. And this task force met last February for the first time, and then we met every month until October. All these meetings were open to the public, and we did receive substantial public input. At that time, in October, we then gathered what we had learned and drafted a report with 15 recommendations. That report was submitted to the legislature. Based on that report, there was a legislative bill drafted, House Bill 1183, and that was submitted to the legislature for its consideration in January.
Some of the key impact or key features of House Bill 1183.
The one that goes directly to the delay issue was who was doing the evaluations. The current state law at that time limited it to psychiatrists and psychologists. While the American Bar Association and 30% of other states had said, well, obviously these folks can do it, but so can others. You could have a certified social worker who has 2 years of supervised clinical experience in a mental health setting. You could have an advanced practical registered nurse with a master's degree and a psychiatric certification. You could have a licensed professional counselor specializing in mental health with specific training. And we felt that broadening who could do these would do two things. One, the psychiatrists and psychologists are not spread out around South Dakota. They're pretty well confined to Rapid City, Sioux Falls, Yankton, and maybe a couple other areas. That was one problem. And the second, more basic problem, there simply weren't enough of them. So this law broadens who can do these evaluations. It also sets a cap on it, saying from the time it's ordered, the judge should have that evaluation within 21 days. Hmm. So that would, to me, would be, it's a really broad-based law, but if you were going to pick one point that I think is the major point, that's it.
One that would have the most impact, you think? Is that what you mean there?
Well, it's hard to measure impact. Yeah. I mean, another key part of the law is providing assistance to local rural law enforcement. What are they going to do if they pick somebody up at 2 in the morning out in the rural area and they talk to them and conclude there's something not right with this person? Mm-hmm. We've done several things. One would simply give them a card, the all law enforcement officer, giving them the definition of what is mental illness. And then maybe more importantly, when they get back to the sheriff's office with this individual, they can dial up professional assistance. It's called telehealth program. They don't have to just sit in rural South Dakota and try to think, what in the world do I do now?
Right.
So that, I think, is another major component of the law.
So did House Bill 1183 pass then?
It did. It required two-thirds majorities mm-hmm. in both houses, and it comfortably passed both.
So you received the support that you needed both in the votes and in the feedback you got from lawmakers, is that safe to say?
Yes. During the legislative process, there were any number of groups that supported the bill. It wasn't just our task force, and they did testify before the legislative committees in both the House and the Senate. And I think that then was the basis for the legislators overwhelmingly approving it.
Sure. Let's talk about sort of the pilot program for screening. How does that work? And I guess the heart of my question is, how are some of these changes going to roll out?
Well, the one part that didn't pass, if you're referring to the proposed mental health court in Rapid City, is that what you're talking about?
I wasn't, but let's talk about that, the part
that didn't pass.
Yeah.
There are, in many states, what they call mental health courts. If a person's arrested for a fairly minor criminal offense, and it's concluded what really is wrong here is that they are mentally ill. They might just simply be off their meds. Rather than warehousing them in a county jail, and the Minnehaha County Sheriff says it costs $90 a day to keep one prisoner for one day. So if you're having one of these individuals sitting in your jail for many months waiting to be evaluated, that's a pretty big expense to the taxpayer.
Right.
Many other areas have diverted these people with mental illness to what they call a mental health court, where they try to deal with the core problem, which is what is the nature of their mental illness and what can we do about it. In talking to judges from other states that are involved in these types of programs, they say in the vast majority of cases, these poor souls are just simply off their meds, and if you can get them back on their meds, they'll be fine. And then they can be supervised through this mental health court. We had proposed a pilot project for Rapid City. The sheriff was completely on board there and thought it was needed. Unfortunately, when we got the revenue projections and saw that the state's revenue was not going to be able to fund this, it didn't pass. Nobody argued it wasn't needed. It was simply, we don't have the money to pay for it. So hopefully if the state's finances improve next year, I'll come back with that request. But that was the lone part of the proposal. It did not pass, and it was simply a question of money.
One of the things that I heard, speaking of Rapid City, the challenges that they have, and I know going back a little bit, you and I had talked about South Dakota having only 15% of the mental health services that we need. Rapid City Mayor Steve Allender had said it's particularly an issue for them with the state hospital being in Yankton, 400 miles away.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if there was any conversation during the summer study or in these conversations to have a second state hospital, West River, or is that not even in the realm of what this umbrella?
We knew that we had to come up with proposals that would not have major price tags on them.
Sure.
And I think that was, we all recognized something that our group probably shouldn't propose because it had virtually no chance of being funded. This is a problem everywhere. My home county is Marshall County. The last time I talked to my sheriff back there, he said he had to make three trips from Britton to Yankton and back in 1 month.
Wow.
And that is the advantage of broadening who can do these evaluations. Maybe that sheriff doesn't need to go to Yankton anymore. Maybe he can now just drive to Aberdeen or Watertown where they have a certified social worker or these other people that possess the skills to do the evaluations. I think that's going to save a lot of time and expense for these rural counties. But as far as your original question, I'm not aware of any discussion of a second state hospital.
Sure. So hopefully within that 21 days and broadening who gets to do the evaluations, we can keep people from languishing in jail, which is a benefit to them and the taxpayers. We've talked about providing training for local rural law enforcement and access to a telehealth program. What else is in this package that we might see?
The training isn't just for sheriffs. It would also be for the people that do the intake.
Okay, sure.
They would have assistance, certain questions to ask a person when they're brought into a jail when they've been arrested, which would help identify who may have mental illness issues. It's also going to provide training for judges. I've been a judge 32 years. I've never had mental health training. It's also going to provide training for prosecutors and for defense attorneys, and also for our probation officers, to give everybody a little better understanding on what the nature of the problem is.
Hmm. So will you and others receive, what kind of training are they going to receive, and how is it going to impact how they do their daily jobs? Because that's astonishing to me that in more than 30 years that you've never had that sort of resource.
I'm a history major. but it will be basic information to provide all these groups who are part of the criminal justice system with an understanding of what mental illness is. Obviously, it is not going to be so extensive that they can start doing their own evaluation.
Right, yeah.
But it will introduce them to the problem in a basic level. And the training then would be updated at least every 4 years, because people come into a system and they leave it, sheriffs and judges and prosecutors. And so the judges meet 2 to 3 times a year for judicial training, and this will be on the agenda.
Interesting. Mobile crisis response teams. I've also heard that a few times on this program. I think our reporter Keely Biltina brought us a piece about that. What can you tell me there?
Well, right now there's only two in the state. Mm-hmm. There's the established program in Sioux Falls, Minnehaha County, and there's a brand new one just in Hughes County. They're the only two counties in the state that have them. I have never seen one in operation, but I understand that it is a team that can deal with the problem in the field rather than putting the person in the car and driving them to Yankton.
Mm-hmm. In your experience, once a sort of major package like House Bill 1183 is rolled out, how soon do we as citizens and voters start seeing the impact of it? And how soon before you know that it's making a difference or needs to be adjusted?
Well, first off, the law doesn't go into effect till July 1st.
Okay. Yep.
As do all our laws that are not passed with emergency clauses on them. I think you'll see an immediate benefit in expanding who can do these evaluations. Hopefully, that will get rid of the backlog in short order and keep the backlog from coming back. It also may provide relief to the jails. It'll reduce the jail population because the people will go through the system quicker.
Sure.
And it will also provide, with that 21-day limit on the time for an evaluation, the evaluation is going to get done quicker, and it's going to get presented to the judge quicker. So I think everybody benefits.
So in theory, we start seeing results within 21 days.
Yes.
Yes, all right, because people should
be... On that point. I mean, the training in that obviously is not going to get rolled out July 1st, but I think you're going to have a better trained people top to bottom in the criminal justice system, and I think that's a long-term benefit. So hopefully immediately you'll see some of those benefits, and I think overall the system will improve.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to South Dakota Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson. And Chief Justice, I'm wondering also about the legal services and for rural communities. We've spoken about that before, a program that I know you care about. Tell me if there have been any movement in that conversation.
That was another major accomplishment in the last legislative session. With our rural attorney program, under the program, any county who had a population of less than 10,000 could contract with an attorney to set up a private practice in a rural area. And half would be paid by the state as far as the stipend, a third by the county, and 15% by the state bar. This has been highly successful. We now have contracts with 17 rural counties, and we are the only state in the nation that has this type of a program. This program literally was invented in South Dakota, and it's succeeded very well to the point where it's had national attention. It made the front page of the New York Times. But the problem is we determined that there are towns in counties of over 10,000. They're rural towns, but they can't qualify because the county itself is over 10,000. The classic example is Wall, South Dakota. It's in Pennington County, obviously over 10,000 people, but there sits Wall a goodly distance from Rapid City. And so we proposed and the legislature agreed that we modify the law that now not only can a county under 10,000 participate, but a municipality under 3,500 can participate no matter whether the county's over 10,000 or not.
So when does that sort of take effect and we start seeing the impact of that?
All right, that'll also go into effect July 1st. I'm going to meet with municipal officials hopefully before July 1st and explain the benefits of the program to them. And in theory, we could be up and running with that part of the program July 1st.
All right, so what are you working on over this summer? What's your summer study going to look like this year?
Well, my wife has told me that this is the last project she wants me to do for a while. And so I think right now we've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Right,
we have
yeah.
drug court, alcohol court, veterans courts, rural attorney, this mental health. I think now our focus should be not only operating these programs but improving them.
Right.
We're finding times change. When we passed the drug courts, for example, we thought we had pretty well addressed the problem. Well, nobody foresaw within a couple of years this huge explosion of meth,
right.
which really changed the playing field. And all of these programs are in reaction to a problem. If the nature of the problem's going to change, then the nature of our response has to change too. So I think my focus will be to try to keep these programs as successful as possible in a changing world.
Well, you know that I like to end our conversations by asking you what you're reading, because you've always got something on your desk. What are you reading right now, Chief Justice?
I'm reading a book about a fight that's been going on in the U.S. Supreme Court since the 1860s on whether it is appropriate to declare laws unconstitutional that infringe on private rights, or whether the majority should rule and any law basically passed by the popularly elected legislature should be allowed to stand. And
wow.
Very interesting. It just walks you through from 1867 all the way up to the present. And I'm about two-thirds of the way through the book.
Fascinating stuff. All right. South Dakota's Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well.